It is not too late to grow up innocent. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. It is not too late to grow up innocent. Now, how about that? Have you ever thought about that? It's not too late to grow up innocent. How can we grow up innocent if we're already grown up? How can we express this childish innocence that we're born with if we have already added years to our life? How can we do that? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. How can we do that? Well, it's simple as can be, actually. It's not too late to grow up innocent. Little children believe in everything. And that is what everything should be. Everything should be believed in. Little children believe in Santa Claus. They believe in the Easter Bunny. They believe in all of the things, the Tooth Fairy, and all of the lovely things that make childhood such a delightful time. Little children believe in their mothers and fathers. They believe that their mothers are the most beautiful women in the entire universe, and their fathers are the strongest and the most intelligent men that ever could be. They believe that their brothers and sisters will stand up for them and will guide them and show them good things to do. They believe that their brothers and sisters would never do anything that would hurt them and would never teach them to do anything that would hurt them, never direct them to do anything that would hurt them. They always do things and show them things that help them to get more out of life. Little children believe in everyone. Everybody comes along and little children believe in. Little children are not stupid, because when someone comes along with a negative attitude of mind, little children detect that right away. And they just shy away from that person because they do not choose to have a negative attitude of mind in their life. It's like the little boy whose mother said, "You shouldn't play with that child, that's a naughty child." And the little boy tells his mother, "But Mom, when he's with me, he's a nice boy." And of course, that's the innocence of childhood. When he is with me, he is a nice boy. There is not a thing he would think of doing that would be out of line when he's with me. When he's with me, he always wants to do the right thing because I don't see him doing anything other than the right thing, and therefore, he only does the right thing. Now, as we get older, we get jaded in our ways, and we begin to believe that other people are bad, and we begin to believe that the world has problems. And a little child doesn't do that. A little child just knows that whatever it chooses, whatever it wants, it gets. Whatever it delights in happens to it. Now, why is it that whatever a little child delights in happens to him? Because he believes that. He thinks that. He knows that. That's the truth for him. That's the truth for this little child. We must become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven, we are told. And that seems like a most interesting thing, because a little child is ignorant, a little child is unwise, a little child is everything. But what is a little child? A little child is believing. A little child is innocent. A little child believes, and this is what we can do too. We can believe. When we begin to believe in ourselves, we believe in the most wonderful thing in the entire universe. We believe that everything is possible. We believe that our dreams do come true. We believe that every wish that we ever have is a reality now, because we are living in that wish fulfilled while we're dreaming and wondering about it coming. The innocence that we had when we grew up is really quite lovely. I used to take my bicycle and ride out to the Myers house out in Blue Mountain Road there, and it was so beautiful. They had a half-acre property there, and they had so many things going on that. They had animals, they had pigs, they had gardens, they had everything going. And they were a very busy family. They were a very happy family. They all had chores to do, and they all loved to do it. They all respected their mother and father. They all respected their family. And that's where I went. I went to visit the Myers. And the Myers were such wonderful people. They were such beautiful people. Yeah. When George Myers, the father, would say something, the children would instantly respond to it. When the mother would offer them things to do, they would instantly say, "Okay, Mom, glad to do it. Okay, Mom." And when she would make frugal meals, it was a meal fit for a king, because the frugal meal may have meant that it was not very expensive, but it was not frugal when it came to love. For every portion, every ounce, every attitude toward the meal was a loving attitude, and all the family thought it was the most wonderful food in the entire world. It was something that was a delight for everyone, and I always enjoyed going out there and eating with them. I always enjoyed being part of the family. And they just took me in just as though I were a member of the family. And they expected me to be respectful of all their meals, of all their things, of all the equipment that they had, and all of the toys, and all of their responsibilities. And it was a joy to be with them. They lived in a state of innocence. They didn't know that their family was going through tough times, as were many families in that time. They only knew that they had a home filled with love. They had a mother and father who just dearly loved them, who dearly cared about them, and who dearly wanted everything good for them. And so it was. They lived in that state of innocence, and they were my friends. They were my closest and dearest friends. And they are to this day my closest and dearest friends. What makes us that way? We live in an innocent time, and that innocent time never ends. I have many other people that I grew up with who lived in difficult straits and difficult times. Fred Smart, his dad was a farmer, and he had nice farms. Oh, such nice farms, and they were beautiful farms, but he rented them. He didn't own them. He rented them, and he farmed them, and he maintained them just as though they were his very own. And he kept them almost like in park-like condition. And every time I would come from the city and go out and visit them, or come from our lake cottage and go over and visit them, I was made a welcome son. I was made to feel that I belonged. And I belonged. And they were my mother and father. When I lived in their presence, they were my guides, and they were people that I believed in. And all of the children in the Smart family, they had as their amusement, with no television and very little other type of things to entertain them, they played school. And every night when I was there, we were playing school. And one of them would be the teacher. And they were very good. They were all top students in school. And we'd play school, and we'd play with our language, and we'd play with arithmetic, and we'd play with all the things that they were learning. And I was learning in the same way. But they had an innocence about learning. It wasn't learning to them. It was revealing to them that they already knew it. They had the innocence to know that within them was all knowledge. And they just revealed it. And all of them, all of the Smart family, were just so glorious and so wonderful. Just like all the Myers family were so wonderful. And to this day, we still keep contact, some long in the distant past. And there are many others. I didn't have a lot of friends. I had best friends in all of them. And every one of them were quality people. Every one of them were people who were innocent. They were people who lived their life by the fact that all was good and very good in the world. And as they lived that, so they experienced it. They experienced that out of joy and out of peace. Jeffrey Etherington was one of my friends in school, and this was in the elementary grades. And he lived in the same direction I did, and so we would walk home from school together often. And as we walked home from school, Jeffrey was an exceedingly genius child, an exceedingly brilliant boy, just magnificent. His mind just never stopped. His dad was a brilliant, genius engineer, and his mother was a brilliant woman in some phase too. And they were just an absolutely brilliant family. Well, as I walked home with Jeff, we went over the things that we learned in school that day. And we were supposed to learn 5 new sentences, and we were supposed to learn 5 new words, and we were supposed to learn 5 new countries, and we were supposed to learn all sorts of things. And we learned them, and on the way home we learned them. Jeffrey already knew them, and Jeff told them to me, and he says, "Okay, now these are the words we want to learn, and I think they're good words. What do you think, Herb?" And so I'd say, "Well, of course they're good words. They're wonderful, you know." And he always chose words that had 100 meanings to them. And then as we'd walk along, he'd say, "Okay, you give a word, and you got to give 4 meanings for it. And you give a word, you got to give 3 or 5 meanings for it, depending upon the toughness of the word." And we just, in our innocence, soaked up learning, soaked up wisdom, soaked up the delight for life. We didn't realize that that was not really a great toy, and yet today children with the computers are doing much the same thing. But we learned. We used our mind, and the genius of Jeffrey rubbed off on me. The genius of Tom Bardenwerper rubbed off on me. He was just a magnificent young boy. He could sing like a bird. He just was great. And whenever I was around him, I felt I could sing beautifully too. And I sang with him, but never as good as he did. But I knew I could. And in my innocence, I sounded just like Tommy. And it was a wonderful thing. And we'd take the long way home after school, and we'd go down into the valley, and we'd go down by the river, by the Menominee River in Wauwatosa. And as we would do this, it would be quite a bit further. It would be maybe about half a mile further compared to the quarter mile that it is straight from school to my house. And 4 or 5 of my buddies would go along with me, and we'd go down by the river. And one of the things we just so thoroughly enjoyed doing, because it was so neat, was to pick up wild onions and bring them home. Now, nobody wanted the wild onions when we got home, but we felt so proud of that, and we smelled so oniony. And on the way home, we oftentimes would stop at the river, and we had 2 or 3 swimming holes in the river. And we'd strip off our clothes and dive into the water and swim around and play around. And after about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, we'd come out and we'd dry off, and then we'd get dressed and go on. And we'd climb the trees there and play Tarzan. And we would do all the wonderful things, the innocence of childhood. Our days were filled with bliss. Our days were filled with learning. Our days were filled with love. Our days were filled with innocence. Oh, we had so many things in the innocence of our childhood. It was so much fun to go home with some of the children who were in the orphanage, and they were attending our school. And as I would go home with them, I would think, "Gee, you guys got a neat place to live here with all this, you live with all these other kids, and you got such exciting things going on. And they say, yeah, but we don't have too much clothes. We don't have any extra socks. We don't have any extra underwear. We don't have any extra pants or shirts and stuff. Well, it was wintertime, and I would take off my shirts and my socks and my underwear and my pants, and I would give it to them, and I had a long coat on, and I would wear my long coat over my naked body and go home. I had my shoes on, too. And the kids in the orphanage were saying, wow, isn't this great? We got a new pair of socks. We got a new pair of... And that was so wonderful. It just made me feel good to share with them because we had more. And whenever I'd go home and my wardrobe would get a little empty, Mother wouldn't say anything about it. She sort of read my mind. She knew what I had been doing, even though I never said a word and she never asked. And she would buy me new clothes and put them in the closet for me, and I would have it to share. This went on for many years, and it was a wonderful experience. But it was an innocent experience, an experience of sharing something very personal to me, very real to me, very exciting to me. And I know how much they enjoyed it. It was something really important to them. Not perhaps because it was the clothing that I gave them, but it was because I gave them the clothing. The act of giving, the act of sharing, the act of innocent feeling that whatever is mine is yours, I share it with you. I would have shared my coat with them too, but then I would have been naked going home, and that wouldn't have been too cool because it was pretty cold outside. But those things are the way they happen in Wisconsin when I was growing up. That was the innocence of my life, the innocence of my world. I had so many different friends who would say to me, Herb, do you know how to use a slide rule? That's like a calculator. And I said, I want to learn. And so I bought a nice slide rule, and they came over with their slide rule, and Jimmy would show me how to use the slide rule. Jimmy Fleischner would just lived up the street about three houses, and he loved to come over and show me because he was brilliant at it. He was a year older than I, and he was learning it in school, and so he would show me how to use it. And he'd show me how to use this stick that you shove back and forth, and you read the figures on it, and you come up with answers. And he was very quick and very brilliant, and he was just so wonderful. And he never felt that I was stupid. He always felt that I knew just as much as he did, and I just hadn't woke up to it yet. And he was helping me wake up to it. That's the innocence, the wonderful innocence of childhood. We all have this opportunity to return in our memory to our childhood, but it's even better to live our childhood, live our innocence right now. Can you live the innocence right now that you live in a divine world and that all is in divine order right now? All is in divine order right now. This world is whole and perfect right now. And you, me, I'm whole and perfect right now. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect right now. Can you live in that innocence? Well, the appearances aren't always... If we believed in the appearances that happen in our life, we would be very sad people. Because a person makes a mistake, does that mean everybody makes a mistake? Because a car has an accident, does that mean everybody has an accident? You see, the negatives, the unhappy situations, are in the minority. And they happen only because people think about them. Now, the majority of the people think about good things. They think about right action. They think about truth. They think about love. They think about peace. They think about the powerful things that an innocent heart reveals. You and I, we have an innocent heart. We are innocent. Our memories of our childhood are good memories. If there were any bad memories, they faded away and they were not important. Only the good memories are remembered. Our life in this world is a good memory. Our life in this world is a good now experience. Because we are innocent now. We believe that it works. We believe that these things will come to fruition. I believe for every little bird that sings. When you sing songs of belief, when you sing songs of love, when you sing songs of truth, when you sing songs of wonderment, then that wonderment takes place. Truly, it is not too late to grow up innocent. It's not too late to remember our past and remember all the goodness of our past. It's not too late to live in our present, in the now, and live in the innocence of the now. The innocence of the now is that all is in divine order. The innocence of the now is that life is good and very good. The innocence of the now is I am ideal spirit, mind, and body, and how often we can say that. The innocence of now is everything is good and very good. The innocence of now is all that matters. What is your feeling about your life? Do you recall with innocence the life experiences you have? I believe you do. I know I do. Do you live those life experiences now, this moment? Oh, yes, I do. Do you think that the people in your world are so wonderful, so fantastic, so glorious, and so beautiful that it is an eternal experience? Oh, yes. Does an innocent heart worry about tomorrow? Does it worry about the past? Does it worry about the present? An innocent heart lives in the now, in the ideal now of just being happy in the now. It's a wonderful thing. It's a very happy thing. It's a very powerful thing. We live in the now. And as we live in the now, we experience the now as something very, very wonderful, very, very positive, and very, very joyful. It is not too late to grow up innocent, living in the present, in the now. Living in the now with an innocent heart, with an innocent life. You only know the truth, and the truth sets you free in innocence. Join me in this innocence today, and let that be your reality, now and forevermore, because it's pretty exciting. I like me. I like me. I like me. Thank you.